From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And a live look at the south end zone tunnel that has opened. That's the new entrance this year for the Jaguars at the end of the prowl. And we come inside Everbank Field in the HananiaAutos.com studio. J.P. Shadrick with you on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Glad you're with us today. Very busy show. Rasheen Mathis in studio with us today, retiring from the National Football League after 13 seasons. We'll go over some of the best defensive players in Jaguars history. Mr. Mathis certainly is on those lists. And Doug Farrar from Sports Illustrated will join us to talk about the draft coming up. Boy, we're, what, a couple of weeks away from round one of the NFL draft. We welcome in Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier and Rasheen Mathis. What's up?
How's it going?
Thanks for coming on. I know it's a big day for you here, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Thanks for having me.
When was the last time you were in Everbank?
Last
time. You all played here, I guess, right?
Yeah, like actually inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've met somebody out for some TPC tickets before outside of the outside of the gate, but maybe that's about it. But last time I've been inside, yeah, it was the last day that I walked out the doors.
Why are you hanging it up?
Family, I accomplished. You know, I think I've accomplished what more than I set out to accomplish, and that's on the field and off the field, inside the locker room. I think I've impacted guys and been impacted to impact. So it's just a blessing to be able to do so. And, you know, God said it was time, and, you know, I wanted to leave while my wheels were still turning and not while they fell off.
Not everybody gets to retire.
Yes, sir.
And have had a career that they look back on. On the one hand, you're retiring, which makes it a bittersweet day, but 13 years. And that had to be, I don't think when you first walked into this place in 03, you were thinking 13-year career in the National Football League. Talk about what that means to you, to have played that long and to have gotten that much out of the game.
Yeah, as a wide-eyed rookie, even coming from Bethune, thinking that I can play in this league, we're all naive to that fact as a young guy, because we have no idea what it takes.
Right.
Even if we have the ability, we still have no idea. And, you know, I was like, I think I'll just play 8 years like it was nothing. Like, you know, I think I'll play 8 years and then I'll retire. And then once I got to year two, maybe even before then, I was like, oh, wow, guys actually don't play in the league that long. So I might need to readjust my thinking and just take it year by year. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. And like as the years kept rolling, it was just like, okay, I made it another year. Okay. I have a little longevity and let's just see. But to, you know, at year three, if you would have told me I would have been playing 10 years after that, I'd have been like, okay, I have no, I don't think my body would be able to hold up. But so to be at year 13 and still being in great health and, in great shape and still, you know, being able to run around with these 22-year-olds, it was a blessing. I count it a blessing for sure.
Did it mean something to you? You know, in year 13, a lot of corners are not starting and they're playing, you know, as a reserve. You started at corner in your 13th year.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't happen. How much pride do you take in that? Because that's relatively rare. I'm not going to say it never happens, but it's not an all-the-time thing.
Right. I don't think I don't think it has set in yet.
Right.
I think, you know, when I look back at it, I will see it as something that is extraordinary because, you know, I have seen the greatest guys in the game. I've seen the sport take a toll on them. And that's why I said I count it as a blessing because, you know, injuries we can't prevent. As hard as we work out, as much as we watch our eating and things of that nature, things are going to happen. So, you know, I thank the big guy upstairs every day for it. That I'm still in sound mind and health. So I think, like I said, it hasn't set in. But it definitely was something that I took pride in to show young guys that, okay, this is the way you do it. This is how you take care of yourself. And if you do it and, you know, you're able to stay healthy, it's a bright road at the end of the tunnel.
Rasheen Mathis with us today, celebration of his 13-year National Football League career, 10 of those with the Jags. The unique thing here, Rasheen, is that you're from Jacksonville. Like, yes. You grew up here, and you remember, I'm sure, when the team was granted to Jacksonville. Do you remember your first memory or a memory of that experience as a kid?
Yeah, my first memory of the Jaguars is our basketball coach. We worked the stadium. We worked concessions outside of the like inside the stadiums. I forget what the – yeah, but we worked concessions. So that was my – you know, I didn't come from – you know, a wealthy home. So it's not like we had Jaguar tickets. So it was watching it on the TVs, the small TVs outside in the concession areas. So that was my first part of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, I grew up a baseball fan, so okay. I really wasn't a football guy. I didn't start playing football until high school. So to have a coach that was able to bring us to that game, that was eye-opener. But, you know, it was the Atlanta Braves for me. That was the big thing for me until the Jaguars came into town. And I was like, okay, wow, football team. So I took to it, though. It was awesome.
What was your in the concession stand, what did you do the best? You remember?
No, I'm sure.
What did you like
to
do?
Whatever I did, it was – you know, I probably was good at it. Joking. That was a joke. That was a joke. I don't know. It was just selling drinks and making hot dogs, something like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny how it comes full circle.
Exactly.
Like that, right?
Exactly. Like, it couldn't have dreamed it to play out like this. Especially like just working concessions, not even really loving the game of football at that point. You know, if you would have asked me anything, I'd have been like, I'm going to be a baseball player. It's full circle, like you said. It's amazing.
Pretty good baseball player, too, certainly in high school. Let's go through some of your records for the Jaguars in 10 years. 30 career interceptions. That's a franchise record, including 8 picks in 06, a single-season record. Interception return yardage, 512 return yards with the Jaguars, and 3 for a touchdown, including some big games and key moments as well. Which one of those stands out? Any big play interception stand out as, hey, this is my big moment with the Jags here?
Hands down. Well, I remember my first interception ever here. It was my rookie year playing safety and against the Panthers. And I was like, okay. And that could have been like the first game. It could have been the first game. And I was like, okay, because I had over 30 interceptions in college. So I was like, okay, this is easy. I can do this. But I think that might have been my only one that year. Maybe I had another. But the one that stands out most is Pittsburgh playoff game interception. I think I had two that game. So in the fans, it sticks out in the fans' minds. Like, everywhere I go, and the Pittsburgh fans hate me because of it. So wherever I go, whether it's a Jaguar fan or a football fan, I'm reminded of that game. So, and it was great for the city and the organization. It was a playoff win. So those games are amazing.
Now, that was the game where your hair rolled you out of bounds.
That was
later,
the second interception. Yes.
Did you? And I wasn't covering the team at the time, so I guess I had forgotten that detail until a lot of fans mentioned it when they were writing me this week. Did you ever consider cutting it after that?
No.
Get a lot of grief?
It has actually gotten longer. So
yes, it has.
I definitely would be even more out of bounds if that play had happened now. But no, never thought about cutting it. I think that was a rule written on the fly. You know, I don't think that was the hair rule was in effect in the CBA or in the rule book. But it was funny. It was funny. But it came after my first interception touchdown, so I was okay with it. As long as I caught the interception was the main thing.
And you said the fans, I guess, mentioning that play to you. What does it mean to you to be from here, you're going to settle here, you played here, such a part of this town, and have it be such a part of your life, and be able to play here? That's rare, and that has to be special. That maybe you didn't appreciate it quite as much when you were playing, but now when you look back, boy, what a unique experience.
It is. It's a unique experience. But like it hasn't hit home yet. Like,
right.
I'm retired, but I tell people have been asking me for the last month, how does it feel to be retired? And I was like, I don't know. This is my normal off season around this time of the year. So when I don't have to report to training camp, you know, when I don't have to go to meetings, I think that's when I'm gonna be able to reflect on it most. But to answer your question, I can answer that now. To be a part of my hometown history is breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
To even think that I will, you know, reside here, my family's here, we'll grow up here, it's breathtaking. To even, you know, it's a very humbling experience to be even, you know, in the breath of some of the guys that I grew up watching and admiring in college, like the Fred Taylors and the Mark Brunels. Like, it's breathtaking.
Rasheen Mathis with us. I looked all over, and I did not find you on social media anywhere, by the way. You don't have Twitter or anything?
I do have a Twitter account.
You do?
I made it. Actually, I didn't have it until my last year here in Jacksonville. After I knew I wasn't coming back, I talked to our PR guy at the time, and I was like, you know what? I'm not a social media guy, but I want to, you know, I'm thinking about making a Twitter account to say thank you, fans, for all the support. So I do have a Twitter account, at Rasheen Mathis.
That's it.
So I'm 27.
Yeah.
At Rasheen Mathis, okay. 27. So
okay.
That's
still
a lot of people don't think it's me, actually.
No, I didn't think it was you either.
Yeah, so because I only sent out, like, in 3 years, I probably sent out, like, 15 tweets.
Right.
You have a lot more time now. You might be able to. Let's get to some social media questions from fans, though. The Drink Whisperer off Instagram asking you, which veteran Jags player showed you the most your rookie year?
Donovan Darius.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. Double D was amazing. And I have to give kudos to Marlon McCree, too. Both of those guys were safeties. I came in as a safety. So both of them took me up under their wings, and they impacted my career tremendously.
Let's go to question three. RC Bernie asking you, since playing for the Jags was your first job and you mastered your craft, what will be your second job in the new chapter of your young life? And thank you for your hard work and dedication.
First job was concessions.
Exactly. Master football, I don't know about that, but thank you. Other than being an awesome and tremendous man of God, I would like to take a hand at golf. I want to see how well I can get at that, and not just be an athlete swinging the club, but being a golfer, So I actually, my family is behind me, so I want to see how well I can do.
That would be a pretty incredible story if you somehow got good enough to move. I don't know how that happens, right?
Yeah, it happens by getting really
swinging the club a lot, right? And you got time to do that now. I will finish with this one, and you just talked about this briefly. Connor JB10 asking you, how close is the city of Jacksonville to your heart?
It's, I don't know if I can put it in words.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, you know, the city of Jacksonville means more to me than I'm sure I mean to it. For a lot of reasons. My impact on Jacksonville is not over. You know, I want to start digging in the community as much as I can. I did a little while I was playing, but it's different when you're able to be hands-on, and that's my approach on everything. Not just putting my name behind something and letting someone else run it, but actually putting my name behind it and actually standing beside my name and saying, this is me who's doing it.
Well, we're going to look forward to seeing you around. I'm sure we'll see you around Everbank Field a good bit. You're not going to be a stranger, right?
No, I try not to be a stranger. Gus, I talked to Gus outside, so he opened the doors for me. Said, you know, he didn't give me the key to the stadium, but he said, I'm welcome.
Shatter's got that.
Yeah, I'll hand it to
all
you.
All right, appreciate it.
Rasheen Mathis, good to see you. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
On a fantastic career.
Thank you.
Rasheen Mathis, Jaguars and Lions cornerback, retiring from the National Football League. The Blake Bortles Foundation Golf Tournament this weekend. Friday and Saturday down at the World Golf Village. The tournament at the King and Bear. All the festivities at the Renaissance down there. Friday night, John Party Concert. The doors open at 6:30. Saturday, Kane Brown, $20 in advance and $30 at the door. Visit BlakeBortlesFoundation.com. Rasheen Mathis, done in the National Football League after 13 seasons. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and Brian Sexton jumps in with us now. He'll emcee the ceremony coming up.
The man worked 13 years, and this was his reward, hanging with us.
Well, it's not good enough. I mean, come on.
I think you can make yourself. The case it's not good enough.
Don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch,
no,
John.
Brian, you covered him more than I did. I got him for 2 years at the end of his career here. Always enjoyed dealing with him. Was always struck by the class, the dignity, the grace, if you will, that he handled himself no matter what the situation. But you can speak more to it than I could.
Well, no, I mean, you saw him. That was the way he was from the moment he showed up as a second-round pick in 2003. He came in as a free safety, and it was abundantly clear that he was the best corner on the roster at that point. It was time to move him. He had the length. He had the ability to turn and run up the field. He had the instincts for it. I mean, he was an interception machine at Bethune-Cookman. And as we saw, I mean, he became that over the course of his career here in Jacksonville. I love the fact that he's a local kid, that he always, always valued his time in Jacksonville. You know, on a Tuesday, it was easy to get Joe Zelenka, you know, and whoever the kicker was, to go out and, you know, read in schools, you know, put up a Habitat for Humanity home, whatever it was. Always, in every city, you get the long snapper and the punter. They don't get the exposure. You don't get the star corner. And Rasheen Mathis was constantly out there, whether it was Clara White, the YMCA, the Jaguars Foundation. I mean, you couldn't ask him for something that he didn't at least try to help you with. So
I think that held true for pretty much all 10 years, which is impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, you know this better because you're from here. I'm not. Jacksonville has a rich history of professional football players. And Rasheen was the first for Jacksonville to stay and play in Jacksonville. He will not be the last, but he was the first. And so the city really took to him. And it's great to see him. And, you know, he's that one guy in that Jack Del Rio era that I don't think there are any detractors. I mean, people could always point to some guy, well, he wasn't this, well, he wasn't that. Rasheen didn't have him. He had universal support from media, fans, the whole nine yards.
Let's play a game we call
This or That. This or That.
Question today for This or That. Who are the best defensive players in franchise history? We asked each of you your top five, and state your case, Johnny.
Well, I'm going to let Brian go first because I was so torn between Brackens and Mathis that I honestly can't remember which one I chose.
Okay, let me give you my five with a quick rationale behind each, and then I want to tell you the two honorable mentions that didn't make the list. So five, I went with Posluszny / Daryl Smith. It's Posluszny, though, because Daryl Smith played with Stroud and Henderson. He played with Reggie Hayward and Paul Spicer and Mike Peterson. He had a better surrounding cast around him. I think they're very similar players. There was a more athletic case to be made for Daryl Smith, but Posluszny is just so smart and such a good player, great tackler. So I'll go with him at five. Four, I went with Kevin Hardy, second overall pick. You know, he had a very short career compared to a lot of other linebackers. First game here, opening day 96, interception and a sack. Had 10.5 sacks on that great 99 team. You know, busted his knee up in Dallas in 2000. It really was never the same. But when you watch the tape, and you guys know I've done a lot of archive work here in the last month, tackle after tackle after tackle after tackle. And I'll take this right out of the case. Tackles are an unofficial stat, and a number on the sheet doesn't tell like a sack or an interception does. Kevin made a lot of big ones. Three is Marcus Stroud. Over a 4 or 5 year span, he was as good a defensive tackle as you'd find, athletic, could penetrate, could hold up the point. It helped that he played next to John Henderson, but he was a 3-time Pro Bowler back in an era where the Pro Bowl really meant something, the very tail end of when the Pro Bowl meant something. I went with Rasheen number two because number one is Brackens. And again, as you watch the tape, look, he's the all-time sack leader. But he made more plays. I mean, just more shoestring tackles that saved big plays where he would push John Ogden back into the backfield. John Ogden, Hall of Famer, reach up, tip a pass that would have been a big gain to a back in the backfield. You almost have to see the tape to truly appreciate what a great player he was. It's just he didn't love the game, so he isn't remembered by people in the NFL as being a great player, but those of us who saw him play, and Boselli and Loggeman would both say this, he's the best defensive player we've had in Jacksonville.
Yeah, for a short time, when he was right, I think I made this case on the radio the other day, when Brackens was right and when he was firing all cylinders, I don't think it's particularly close.
No.
I think he's far and away the most impact. But over the course of a career, Rasheen Mathis did it a long time, made a lot of big plays, was a much better player than some fans, I think, gave him credit for around here. So for the sake of this, I'll say Rasheen, but there's so many arguments both ways that I'll say Rasheen for this sake of here because he was just sitting here.
Yeah, that's right. It is his day at Everbank Field. We'll see if there's another name that could pop on that list in the next few years coming up April 28th at the draft party at Everbank Field. That's the first round of the NFL draft. Come to Everbank Field for all the festivities on the North Deck. The FanDuelVille Zone will be jam-packed with folks, live TV, live radio throughout the night. For more information, visit Jaguars.com, and we'll find out who the Jags draft that night.
Quick honorable mention, because we don't think of the Jaguars as having a rich tradition of defense.
Or a traditionary, for that matter.
A traditionary, right. I love to make up new words. I got a couple more, but I don't think I can use them even on the internet. Aaron Beasley made a lot of plays. Didn't have the interception number. Had a bunch of touchdowns and picked up a couple fumbles. Remember one against Cincinnati, a big one against Cincinnati.
Really good tackler too, Aaron. I mean,
it was solid.
Yeah,
I mean, solid tackler, and that one just really completely stands out that he was one of those players. So
let's see what Doug Farrar thinks about the Jaguars at five. Who's the next great defensive draft pick for the Jags, Doug? How are you?
Putting him on the spot right away, I see.
What's happening? How are you? It's draft time, right? 2 weeks away. You guys are knee-deep in the SI-50 right now.
Yes, indeed. Doing all my draft prospects and, just going through it all. By the way, I would submit John Henderson is the best.
Osher had him number four. You had him four, Osher. You didn't have him in the top five.
I didn't have him in the top five. I thought he benefited. I thought he was a one-dimensional guy, really good dimension. He pushed him back.
A really good dimension, yeah.
Yeah, really good. No, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of him. Played next to Stroud. I thought some of the other guys were more dynamic playmakers. But he did have his way with Alan Faneca when they played the Steelers, and Faneca was arguably the best guard in the game at that time. So he definitely deserves mention. He was my other honorable mention.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So he would have been, six.
He's in there. Yep. Six.
Yeah, right there. You choose.
Doug Farrar with us from Sports Illustrated. You had a tweet yesterday. I know you're going through film this time, Doug, and your tweet was Buckner and then 34 greater than signs, Bosa.
Come you count them? Wow. Yeah, Tony Khan would be proud of you with all those analytics.
Yeah, that's very true. He would be. 34 greater than signs, Bosa. Come at me. So why is he that much greater than Bosa?
Because basically what I do for Sports Illustrated and for whoever is I don't have time to study draft prospects during the season. So basically the day after the Super Bowl is when I land into this and just start pounding away. And all I'm hearing is Bosa, Bosa, Bosa. It must be pretty good. And it's not like I think Bosa is horrible. I just think there's a lot he needs to work on with lower body strength, with hand moves. I don't see him as a convincing guy inside. And then I'm watching DeForest Buckner from Oregon, and I'm like, my God, this guy's like a faster Calais Campbell. And he can play anywhere from head up nose to wide nine, and there's no drop-off in performance no matter what gap he plays. And you get a guy like that about every 5 years. So to me, the last guy I saw like that was Melvin Ingram. Few years back, went to the Chargers and unfortunately got hurt a lot, but has been spectacular when healthy, where no matter where you line him up, he's just going to dominate. And, Buckner to me, 6'7", 291, but runs like a guy who's about 260. I just think, first of all, from a pure physical tools perspective, he's got it up on most players in this draft class. And then he really put his technique together last year. I think he's going to be a special, special guy. Spoiler alert, I have him at number 6 on my SI-50.
Oh.
So for any team at number 5, I don't know, could be possible.
He was here last week, and I would agree with you. Hmm. The height and the weight. The thing that really impressed me was the size of his hands. I mean, they're almost 12-inch hands, and from what I could see, they measure from the tip of your pinky to the tip of your thumb, for the width of your hands. They're like catcher's mitts, Doug. And you talk about Calais Campbell, who bats a lot of passes down. My question to you is, there's a guy in Miles Jack that has a special skill set, but he plays a position, I don't want to say devalued, but doesn't quite have the same punch as a defensive lineman. So if you're Jacksonville and you know this roster, does a guy like Miles Jack make more sense because you don't find those skills in a linebacker? Or does a guy like Buckner does because there's just more value on a defensive lineman?
Well, one last thought about Buckner is his hands are incredibly strong. I mean, you guys watched Schaefer. He'll just bend guys back. It becomes embarrassing for the guard. As far as Jack, I'm actually it's funny you mention him. I'm talking to him in about an hour on the phone. We're going to watch some tape together.
Nice.
I sent him some plays, and that's going to be up next week on SI. So I've been watching a lot of him, and I understand the narrative of the devalued linebacker, but, you know, I was watching tape with Stuart Cravens from USC yesterday, probably a second-round guy, maybe late first. And he's more like the Deion Buchanan moneybacker guy, about 215, 220. But they'll play him at will. They'll blitz him as a safety. And with Miles Jack, you've got a guy who, you know, he'll probably never bust 240 on the scale, but it doesn't matter because he can do everything. I mean, he can flow down to the run and read his keys and time the gaps as an inside linebacker. As an outside linebacker, he's tremendous. He can blitz. He's got really good pass rush. And then he'll go out and defend the slot seamlessly. So this is a guy who legitimately can play four or five different positions. And as you guys know, in today's NFL, that the tweener label, any NFL team that's still holding onto the tweener label is about to go the way of the dinosaurs because it's the multi-gap guys, the multi-position guys. The guys who can, you know, receivers who can go inside and slot that are really valuable to NFL teams now. And I think Miles Jack is absolutely at the vanguard of that. He's a tremendous player. I have Jalen Ramsey as the best overall player in this draft, and I have Jack at number two.
So it sounds like you believe that five slots into this draft, there will be an impact defensive player.
Oh, no question. No, there will be several. It just depends on what you're looking for. You know, maybe there's a run. I mean, defensive tackles, you're going to be able to go to the third or fourth round and get a credible guy who can probably be a year one starter. And then at five, you can get a DeForest Buckner or someone like that who can, you know, transform your defense. And obviously Jacksonville, they paid the gross national product of France for Malik Jackson, so they're certainly intent on doing that.
Doug Farrar is with us. Give him a follow on Twitter at @SI_DougFarrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, the spelling. How could a quarterback shake up the top of this draft? And do you foresee, is there somebody that a team could move up to try to jump in the top five?
It's interesting. I'm hearing more and more that the Browns like Jared Goff, and maybe they might trade back. I can only go with what I think. I think Goff is about a mid-first-round guy. I like Carson Wentz a lot better. Could Paxton Lynch sneak into that late first round? Maybe. But, you know, I think one of those guys, if Cleveland can't move down, I think one of those quarterbacks is gone at number two. What could really shake it up is if the Browns don't take a quarterback and then you're like, okay, what happens now? But – you know, I see in the mock I did, I had Goff going to Cleveland at number two, and I had Wentz going to Philadelphia at eight, and I actually had Paxton Lynch going to the Niners at seven, just as sort of my surprise pick because it's the Niners, and you never know what they're going to do. But I think absolutely two of those quarterbacks go in the top ten. I think it should be Wentz. I just think he's a better quarterback now and in the future, but I think the thing that could shake it up is if the Browns don't, and then everything kind of pivots.
Doug Farrar from Sports Illustrated with us. We appreciate your time. Well done. Good luck to you with the interview with Jack. Watching film today. We'll look forward to seeing that coming up on SI.com. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
There he is.
Thank you, Doug
Farrar from Sports Illustrated. Get your tickets for 2016 now. Great home schedule, of course. Houston, Tennessee here at home in the division. Denver, Green Bay, Oakland, Minnesota, Baltimore. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com/tickets.
Got to go back to something. He said John Henderson. That goes to prove that people don't remember Tony Brackets. They don't remember how good he was. National media types.
Right.
Because his career was short, quick, over, they don't remember how athletic, how freakishly athletic that he was. They remember how big and powerful John Henderson was.
But you can't say this about that many defensive guys. Their record during that time would not have been as good if Tony Brackens hadn't played.
No chance.
He won games.
Well done, guys. For John Osier, Brian Sexton, everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. The Rasheen Mathis ceremony coming up at 1:30 here on Jaguars.com.